Welcome to another exciting episode of Live the Adventure Radio.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Providential History. I am Michael Faust, joined in the studio today with Aaron Fullen. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with you.
We are not with Bill Hyde today. Heirloom Audio founder Bill Hyde, his father passed away, so we would ask our audience and members to be in prayer for him and his family in these days. But we are going to go ahead and do a Providential History podcast. We're going to do our best, Aaron, myself and you.
We'll see how good that is.
We're covering today the week of August the 13th. That's Sunday, August the 13th through Saturday, August the 19th. And how this is going to work is I am going to talk about sports. Aaron is going to talk about arts, entertainment. Is that how you would describe it, Aaron?
Yeah, that's a good summary of it.
Okay, and then I will talk about the real history, what we tend to just call world history, world and American history. So let's dive right in. Sunday, August the 13th, in the sports world, 1954, the 21st NFL Chicago All-Star Game was played, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. From 1934 through 1976, believe it or not, if you're a football fan, this is really hard to believe it actually ever happened. The NFL, previous year's Pro Football Champion, played the college All-Stars. And in 1954, in Chicago at Soldier Field, 93,000 people watched the Detroit Lions defeat the college All-Stars 31-6. And that is the sports world. Aaron, what do you have for us in the entertainment and art world?
Well, let me tell you, Michael, this is a thrilling event. Not for everybody, but this is going back to 1876. And we are talking about Richard Wagner.
Spell that for us.
W-A-G-N-E-R. Not Wagner's, but Wagner's. Ring cycle, which is actually a very long series of operas. It's four different stories that really do run together, though. Typically, when a performance is done of this famous opera, it's done over four nights because the entire length, give or take, takes about 15 hours.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a long one. It's mammoth, to say the very least. And it's in German, so it may be a little intimidating for people, but it is one of the most monumental operas during the Romantic era.
How much were tickets?
That I don't know. I didn't attend, believe it or not, Michael. But if you get a chance to listen to it, to see it, Wagner took 26 years to write it, so
incredible.
It might be worth your time to check that out.
Well, honestly, Aaron, I do appreciate your contribution to the Providential History. I learned so much from Aaron because I knew really nothing about that, and so I feel cultured for the day. Let's move on to history, world history. Back in 1961, August the 13th, shortly after midnight on this day in 61, East German soldiers began laying down barbed wire and bricks as a barrier between Soviet-controlled East Berlin and the Democratic Western section of the city. According to that's the famous Berlin Wall that is being built. Reagan, of course, later gave his famous speech, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And in 1989, the wall did fall as East and West Germans dismantled it. That was back in 1961.
Sorry to interrupt, but little personal fact here. My aunt served in the army during that time, and she was there in 1989 when the wall was torn down. And she gave all of us, my dad, who is her brother, the entire family got a piece of the Berlin Wall. So growing up, we had a piece of the Berlin Wall in our house. So kind of a neat personal little fact there.
That is awesome.
I've touched the Berlin Wall in my own house.
That is incredible. That was back in 1961, and there's lots to teach kids about that in terms of dividing society and freedom and just all sorts of things. August the 14th. Let's turn to August the 14th. Back in 1936, and we've been talking about the Olympic Games in the past few weeks, and we've also talked about the Berlin Games in which Hitler oversaw. Back in 1936, the first Olympic basketball game was played at those Olympics where Jesse Owens famously won the medals, and that was the first that 36 Olympic Berlin Games was where the first Olympic basketball game was played. It was held outdoors, and James Naismith, who actually, of course, invented basketball, handed out the medals. The U.S. won the gold, Canada won the silver, and Mexico the bronze. And that was the 36 Olympics in Berlin, where the first Olympic basketball game was held. That's the sports world. Aaron, what about the world of arts and entertainment?
Well, Michael, first of all, equally, I'm very glad to have you on the sports front, mm-hmm. because I know very little about sports history. I love sports. I grew up playing sports, but never was passionate enough to research the past and the history of sports. So equally, allow me to compliment you on your...
Man, we are so nice today.
I know. So on this day, August 14th, we see the very first ever international beauty pageant.
Ooh, okay.
1908, folks. So that's, give or take, 109 years ago. And it was very controversial, actually, as you might imagine. You should look it up sometime. There's a picture of Mrs. England, Mrs. France, Denmark, Germany, Italy, mm-hmm. and Spain, all dressed mm-hmm. in their finest. But the feminist movement was kind of at its peak during this time. And so there was a lot of angry women who attended with a whole bunch of, you know, votes for women, armbands and things like that.
Yeah.
It does mark the first international beauty pageant that obviously would continue now to this very day. Whether that's a good thing or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something to be discussed.
I'm of the opinion that it's still a little bit controversial because I try to teach my daughter who's only five, and you know, I've got a lot coming in the next 10 or 15 years, but I'm trying to teach her the definition of beauty. And so our definition is to love God and to love others because she is always, you know, she's infatuated. She's a little five-year-old princess infatuated with beauty and makeup and all that stuff. And so, that's a whole different podcast in terms of
I'll write it down.
Beauty pageants and beauty. But that's a good topic. Let's talk about the real, you know, world history and real mm-hmm. history. Let's switch to that. Back in 1935, on August the 14th, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, signed the Social Security Act. But let me tell you about a more recent this day in history. Back in 2003, on August the 14th, the blackouts hit the Northeast. This is only, you know, 14 years ago. I'm reading from Scientific American now. If you guys remember, the blackouts started in Ohio and it spread, and all of a sudden the entire Northeast was without power, and you had people in New York City walking home across the bridge because the subways and such did not work. Scientific American says all total 50 million people lost power for up to 2 days in the biggest blackout in North American history. It started on August the 14th. It started earlier that day. Shortly after 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a high-voltage power line in northern Ohio brushed against some overgrown trees and shut down. The line had softened under the heat of the high voltage coursing through it. It says normally the problem would have tripped an alarm. However, the alarm system failed, and so over the next 90 minutes, as system operators tried to understand what was happening, three other lines sagged onto trees and switched off, forcing other power lines to shoulder an extra burden. And anyway, that started a domino effect, and so you know, you ended up having a cascading failure that went through eight states and southeastern Canada. And I guess we oftentimes are really forget how dependent we are on electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a quick reminder, because people cannot even, you know, do basic things such as get home from work. Of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you're using electricity. We're using it to record, and you know, our lunches are stored in refrigerators. So lots of things to discuss with your children in terms of how things used to be and how things could be real easily if something, you know, bad happens. That's August the 14th. Let's turn to August the 15th. August the 15th. Now, here's one. Back in 58, we talked about the NFL Chicago All-Star game a few minutes ago. Well, back in 58, the All-Star, the collegiate All-Star team won. The NFL champion Detroit Lions were defeated by the All-Stars 35-19 in front of 70,000 people in Chicago. If you're curious, the pro football teams during this stretch from 34 through 76, they won 31 games, lost 9, and tied 2 times. So during that stretch, the collegiate team actually won 9 times. So that's the sports world. What happened in the entertainment realm, Aaron?
Well, on this day, August 15th in 1939, The Wizard of Oz premiered at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. It had opened actually a few days before that in Massachusetts and Wisconsin before its Hollywood premiere. But the big, big, big premiere was August 15th, and then it opened nationwide on August 25th to very positive reviews, but overall, it was MGM's most expensive movie at that time, which is no surprise there, and was actually considered a box office disappointment.
Huh.
It cost $2 million to make, $33 million in today's dollars, but it barely broke even with a gross of just over $3 million, which is in about $49 million today. So it took a while for The Wizard of Oz to be widely embraced. Obviously, it is now. They did a re-release in 1949 and 1955 to very positive box office grosses. And then in 1959, CBS aired the movie during the Christmas season. And the response was so good that the network began airing Wizard of Oz only once a year during Christmas time until the 1980s. And it's funny because my mom and my dad told me that that's some of their childhood memories was seeing Wizard of Oz once a year.
Fascinating.
It was an event in their household. Everyone knew the Wizard of Oz was about to be shown.
Yeah, before VCRs, DVRs.
Right.
Yeah, we forget that there was a time in which, you know, you really did
you had
set
to wait.
You set your schedule for a certain night of the week in which you wanted to watch something, and if you were sick that night and didn't get to watch it, well, you're out of luck. You just didn't get to watch it.
Wait a year.
That's really amazing to think about. That was just not too long ago.
It was normal.
Back in August the 15th, let's turn to the to world history now, or it's going to be American history. August the 15th, back in 1969, more than 400,000 young people attended a weekend of rock music at Woodstock, New York.
Uh-huh.
I am reading, of course, this is rich with cultural and moral implications. I'm reading actually from Woodstock.com. In August 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair took place on a dairy farm in Bethel, New York. Over 500,000 people came to a 600,000-acre farm to hear 32 acts play over the course of 4 days, August the 15th through the 18th. Some of the acts were Jefferson Airplane, Jimi Hendrix, The Grateful Dead, The Who, Janis Joplin, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I should say Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Those were among the top acts. Woodstock, of course, is known as one of the greatest happenings of all time in the rock music world, and perhaps the most pivotal moment in music history. And my goodness, Aaron, we don't have time to discuss the implications of that, but you certainly have a pivot, as the website said, in cultural history in terms of how we view lots of things. That was a time of questioning authority, a time of yes. rebellion, and with that came drinking and sex and drugs
and
just lots of stuff. But that happened in 69. Let's turn back to the sports world. August the 16th, back in 1954, Sports Illustrated magazine began publishing. It's mostly good throughout the years, but at least once a year has a really bad moment.
Yeah.
We'll try to forget that. 1965, back in 1965, on August the 16th, the AFL, the American Football League, awards its first expansion franchise to the Miami Dolphins. And if you know your pro history, you know that the AFL and the NFL announced a merger in 66 and officially merged in 70. Hmm. The first Super Bowl was held in 67. But on this day back in 1965, the AFL awarded its first expansion franchise to the city of Miami, where the Miami Dolphins. Hmm. That is the sports world. What do we have in entertainment?
In entertainment, we have a birthday. James Cameron, and for those of you who don't know, he is a very, very successful filmmaker, director, producer, screenwriter, inventor, engineer, and a deep sea explorer. He was born on August 16th, 1954, in Ontario, Canada, and made his way to America and became a filmmaker. His first big success was The Terminator in 1984, which really established him as a mainstream director. And then his two biggest hits within the past couple decades were Titanic in 1997, which earned him Academy Awards for Best Picture, Best Directing, and Best Film Editing. And then Avatar, which really was a landmark in 3D technology. And it was a project that literally took him about 10 years to make. And he still holds the record. Two of his movies, the ones I just mentioned, Avatar and Titanic, respectively, are the top grossing films of all time.
I know that some in our audience will not like some of his movies. I'm among them. He wasn't crazy about Titanic for lots of reasons, and I haven't even seen the whole thing. But there's, if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. But but James Cameron also, if you do look into his deep sea exploration stuff, it's really amazing. I think I went to an IMAX movie one time that just followed him in his little ship. I don't know. It's probably the size of this small room we're sitting in now, and he. I think he went to the deepest part of the ocean at one point or something like that, and it's fascinating exploration that he has done. I have one that's really good, Aaron. It might top that one. Back in 1858, U.S. President James Buchanan, who of course preceded Lincoln, U.S. President James Buchanan and Britain's Queen Victoria exchanged messages inaugurating the first transatlantic telegraph line. Now this
yeah, I'd say that's more important.
This cable was laid, if you study it with your kids, it's fascinating if you think about it, because we're accustomed to communicating from the US to London, or China or wherever, and it bounces off a satellite or whatever. But these folks had no satellites. They had to lay a cable all across the Atlantic Ocean, and so if it got disconnected, you had no communication. So the coolest part of the story for faith people in our audience, Christians, is that the first message, of course, Buchanan and Queen Victoria actually exchanged the first official message, but before that, there was a test message. The first test message was as follows. Quote, directors of Atlantic Telegraph Company, Great Britain, two directors in America. Europe and America are united by telegraph. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace and goodwill towards men. And you got to imagine if there's some great invention nowadays, it's probably not going to be that. I would love for it to be. But the first message by telegraph across the ocean literally was, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And then President Buchanan and Queen Victoria spoke later that day on August the 16th, back in 1858. Hey, this is Michael Faust with Heirloom Audio and LiveTheAdventureClub.com. The second half of today's Providential History is for members only. That's a little bit of bad news, I know, but there's some incredibly good news, and I have Aaron Fullen here to talk about this with us, because for just $1 right now, you can join this club, Aaron, and you can get a physical copy of Captain Bailey's Heir and access to this amazing website, and three times a year, Aaron, you'll get the CD sets that are winning awards. So I'm just curious, Aaron. I'm going to tell people my favorite part of the Live the Adventure Club website, which is the read-along scripts. I think these are amazing, you know, because they're actually teaching kids to read, and they're actually helping them with their reading comprehension, so people can actually hear the words, you know, on this in their ears as they're seeing them on the screen. They're highlighted. You get the script, actually the script of the production, and there's so many other things on the website. What's your favorite part of the website, Aaron?
First of all, yes, this $1 offer is incredible. Captain Bailey's Heir is getting rave reviews across this great nation and even abroad. And you can get that and 3 months free of this amazing, marvelous.
Yeah, a three-month, you can cancel at any time, a three-month free trial offer, yeah.
Yeah, and there's this really neat feature called the Adventure Badges, and if you go through and you're listening to these audio adventures and you take the little chapter quizzes at the end of each chapter and you score high enough, you get these adventure badges that are so cool.
Yeah.
And you get a letter from Mr. George congratulating you on your success and a certificate you can print out and frame.
Cool.
Our development team put a lot of work into that little neat feature to give incentive to succeed at quizzes. It's really neat.
It's incredible.
I'm 27 years old, and I want to win these adventure badges.
There's so many things we could talk about, like the 500 old-time family-friendly and radio shows that are available on the website. There's podcasts, there's movie reviews. Pretty much, if you are into history and teaching your kids a biblical worldview, you got to become a member. We didn't even mention the downloadables, the coloring pages, and the word searches that are related to the audio adventures. But check it out, livetheadventureclub.com right now. You can sign up for $1, have 3 months, trial membership, cancel at any time, of course, and you'll get a physical copy of Captain Bailey's Heir mailed right to you. As always, keep living the adventure.